at the wall, and it is gone. Second of the night for Brandon Lowe. And this is a 5-0 game here in game two.
Flush yesterday. You know, yesterday happened. It's behind us. We can't do anything about that. You know, show up to the park, you know, understand who's on the mound, what that guy's got, and what they're going to attack you with, find a plan and execute it. And, you know, we were able to do that tonight.
Tampa Bay Rays even the best of seven World Series at a game apiece as they knock out the Dodgers last night. 6-4, scored some runs early for their ace, Blake Snell, who was awesome for 4 2/3 and ran into trouble. And then Rays manager Kevin Cash said, I'm not taking any chances. I'm going to my bullpen, as he affectionately known it as the stable. And they delivered. And Brandon Lowe, you just heard, he's been admired in a big-time slump this postseason. One of their best players during the regular season, but been slumping, hit two home runs, including that two-run homer. And then that was him talking about his mentality going into game two. It's an off day today. And then game three, World Series, even at a game apiece. It's the lowest rated World Series in regards to TV ratings, at least game one was, since 2008. So is that because of social injustice protest? Nobody's talking about that, are they?
No,
because it doesn't fit an agenda. So it's interesting, you know, the World Series is happening the same time it is every year. It's just at a neutral site, and their ratings are way down. The NBA happens in October, which is usually in May or June, and their ratings are down because of certain reasons. But then the World Series, it's just, well, they're just down. No. I think that's what I'm trying to say is baseball ratings are down because people just aren't into it as much because of COVID-19. Maybe it's because of the shortened season. The NBA, it's because there's lots of competition, other things to watch, and so forth and so on. You have more options in October for sports than you do in May or June. So the World Series is tied at a game apiece. The Rays win last night 6-4. And guess what? Our good friend Todd Tishner from Southwest Kansas was the home plate umpire last night calling balls and strikes. And I'm going to tell you something. I was really watching the zone because they have the box on TV. He did a great job.
Yeah.
He did a great job. If you don't know, he's told us before how he gets graded. He's about 97, 98% accurate on balls and strikes, he told us. And he gets a printout. He gets an email to him, and it shows exactly what pitches he missed. So he could get – so think about that. If he's 98% accurate, out of every 100 pitches, he misses two. That's amazingly awesome.
Yeah.
But yet, that's what he finds out about.
Yeah.
That's what they grill him on is, hey, you missed this pitch on a 2-2. You called it a ball, and it was strike three. Well – that's what he'll probably dwell on, and that's what they'll pound into him. But, man, he's living his dream. He's in his 40s, and he is it was a home plate umpire last night for game two. And I thought he did a wonderful job. I told my next-door neighbor, he's a Dodger fan. I said, hey, a friend of ours is the home plate umpire. And he said, I have to admit, his zone is pretty consistent tonight. And it was. Absolutely was. I mean, you notice that the announcers, and there was hardly any arguing at the plate. There was one early in the game with Justin Turner, which was a high-letter strike that was a strike, and so Turner was wrong in arguing it. So Todd Tishner got that one right. But the announcers, Joe Buck and John Smoltz, I don't think the whole night, at least I missed a few innings, but most of the night, I didn't hear them say one thing about the umpire. And that's a compliment. Talking about the home plate umpire, that usually means that you're doing a great job.
Absolutely.
Did you watch any of the game last night?
I did. I didn't really pay much attention to that as much as you probably did. But yeah, I watched it. It seemed pretty clean to me. They definitely didn't talk about it.
That was the main reason why I watched last night was to watch Tishner behind the plate and see how he did. He did a wonderful job.
Yeah, as you say that, it makes sense now because, they didn't talk about umpiring at all.
Which means he did a good job.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell joining the Chiefs. More on that coming up in just a little bit. And debate or Thursday night football? What are you going to watch tonight? That's coming up as well. All right, local sports, got a lot to get to. Substate volleyball brackets, athlete of the week, broadcast schedule. We'll hand it to Dusty.
Yeah, all the substate volleyball brackets are posted online at ncksports.com. If you miss any of this information, Class 3A Substate Beloit is the number 3 seed at 21-10, and they'll be playing the 6 seed Ellsworth in Russell coming up on Saturday. Ellsworth is 10-20. Beloit and Ellsworth in Russell. That'll be match 2 on the West Court. The first match starts at 1 o'clock between TMP Marion and Russell, the 2-7 matchup. Top of the bracket, Phillipsburg, the 1 against 8 seed Larned, and then 4 seed Norton takes on 5 seed Hoisington. as the other matchup in the top of that bracket. 1A Division 1 Substate being hosted by Sylvan Lucas. Sylvan Lucas has a first-round bye as the number one seed. They're 32-2, and they'll play the winner of the 4-5 matchup, Clifton Clyde 12-16 against Rock Hills 11-16 at 1 o'clock there Saturday in Sylvan Grove. And then on the bottom side of the bracket, the second match of the day will be a two-seed Lakeside, 24-6 against seven-seed Lincoln, who's 8-17. And then match number three in the first round, third-seeded Central Plains against six-seeded Solomon there in Sylvan Grove. 1A Division 1 Substate at Stockton. Thunder Ridge is the number two seed. They have a first-round bye. It's a six-team Substate as Thunder Ridge, the two, will play the winner of the 3-6 matchup, Rollins County against Stockton in that one. And then on top of the bracket, it's Victoria, the number one seed. And then the 4-5 matchup has Oberlin taking on Quinter. That'll be the first match of the day there in Stockton at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Class 1A Division 2 Substate, all of our area teams are competing at Lynn as St. John's Tipton at 20-12 has a first-round bye. They'll move on to the semifinals automatically. Again, this is also a six-team Substate. So Southern Cloud, the number 4 seed, 8-13 against 5th seed Tescott, who's 9-16. A 1 o'clock start time at Lynn on Saturday. Again, the winner of that match will play St. John's Tipton in the semifinals. Lynn's the number 2 seed at 16-10. They've got a first round bye. And then the 3 seed Osborne at 12-11 will take on the 6 seed Pike Valley, who's 9-18 in the other first round match. Now, the Hill City Substate is where Smith Center is. They were originally supposed to be at the Trigo Substate. Ellenwood had already dropped out of this tournament. In fact, Ellenwood would have been the number 1 seed had they been able to go, but a benefactor of that is Smith Center, who will now take the number 1 seed. Trigo was also supposed to be part of this Substate. The Substate was supposed to be played in Waukini, but Trigo yesterday also had to back out due to COVID quarantine. So there's only 6 teams at this Substate, and also since Trigo was hosting, they've now moved it to Hill City. Smith Center is the number 1 seed at 29-6, and they have a first-round bye, and now a 6-team Substate. Bracket Online says Plainville's a 7 seed and has a bye. I'm guessing that's a mistake. So we're going to make sure we have all that correct before I go through the rest of that bracket and make sure it's accurate. So again, Smith Center is the number 1 seed, though, and we'll have a first-round bye. They'll play in the semifinals, the third match of the day, somewhere probably around 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon in Hill City. So let's look at the Substate Volleyball brackets. Again, they're posted at ncksports.com. Again, ncksports.com, Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week, Benson Barrett, the sophomore from Beloit, had a career night in their tough 34-26 loss in the football field against Minneapolis last Friday night. Sophomore had a career high 260 yards, also career high 30 carries. He averaged just over 8.5 yards a carry and had two rushing touchdowns, including one from 70 yards out. Been solid all season for the Trojans. He's now amassed 846 yards, 149 carries, 5.5 per carry, 6 rushing touchdowns, and has been over 100 yards rushing 3 times now this season for Beloit. Again, Benson Barrett, the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. You can read more about that at the website. Also, coming up tonight, we have our high school football locker room chats on Katy Country 94. We'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. So that'll be coming up this evening. 5:10 to 5:15, we'll start those. You can always listen to them online as well at katycountry94.com. And then coming up tomorrow night, high school football week 8, final week of the regular season, as it's Beloit at Hoisington on Katy Country 94 and online video stream, ncksports.com. Pregame coverage 6:30 and kickoff at 7. Same times on Z96.3 The Lake for 8-man Division 2 district game between St. John's Tipton and Rock Hills in Mankato. We'll have that on Z96.3 and katycountry94.com coming up tomorrow night. So stay tuned for all of our week 8 high school football coverage tomorrow.
Bummer for the Trigo volleyball team because yes, the seniors were on a team that made it to the state semifinals a year ago, and the season was stopped abruptly, as we know by now. And now this year, their season stopped abruptly as seniors. And volleyball can't compete at Substate, so double whammy for them. But I guess you have to look at it glass half full. You got to play as much as you could here this year. All right, big question. What are you going to be watching tonight? The presidential debate between Biden and Trump? Or will you be watching Giants versus Eagles Thursday night football?
This is a question for me. It's neither one of them.
That's not an option. If you had to choose and you were told you had to watch one or the other.
Oh, if I have to choose. Yes. Because if you ask me what I'm watching, and I'm not watching either one of them.
Let me explain how this show works.
Well, you asked me what I'm watching, and I answered your question.
I know, and now I'm changing it so I can entertain our audience, okay, because that's a boring answer. So I'm going to tell you, you have to choose now, debate or Thursday night football. Which one are you going
to
choose?
Now you tell me if I have to choose, yes. I'm watching football.
All right, that's what I thought. Thank you. Finally got to where I wanted to go. All right, so Giants.
You
got to
be specific because you literally asked me what I'm watching.
I know. Yeah, I know
but
I
if
did.
I have to choose,
I was hoping you would go
football.
The route I thought you would, but instead you went the easy route.
Because I'm bored. I'm absolutely bored
so
by
what are you
either
gonna,
one
so
of them.
What are you, so what are you going to watch tonight?
I'm not watching anything, probably. I might watch Netflix or
well, that would
I'll
be
probably read a
watching
book.
Watching something. Okay. Yeah. You're going to read a book on
that? I've been,
okay.
I've been reading the Hunger Games books right now. I'll probably finish the third one on that.
So you're going to watch a book all night long instead of the presidential debate that decides our country's fate or a team that could close in on America's team for first place and then the NFC East. You're going to read a book instead of either one?
Absolutely.
That's probably a good call, to be quite honest with you.
Listen, I already know everything I need to know about the presidential
debate. Yeah, I agree with you. I must say, I have really no interest in this debate tonight because the first one was a train wreck, I thought, for both sides. The vice presidential debate was much better to watch and easier to watch, although they dodged a lot of questions, but that's what debates typically are. But the only reason I will tune in tonight, if I happen to remember and think about it, will be just to see. They supposedly are allowing the 2 minutes, and they're muting muting the mic of the other during the 2 minutes. And then there's an open discussion, which to me is going to be not open discussion. It's going to be open arguing, which I don't know if that's discussing or not, but it's going to be open yelling at each other probably and name-calling and degrading and everything else if it's anything like the first one. And I personally don't need to waste my time watching that. So I may tune in just to see how the format's a little bit different and see how that works. More than likely, I'd probably be like you. I might not watch either one either. I'll play with my kids or do something like that. Tonight, I do know I have parent-teacher conferences, so I got to go to that.
Yeah.
You know, the responsible parent that I am, go in and have all the teachers say how great our kids are because we're the greatest parents that lived. That's what they usually say to us is, you're the greatest parents that ever lived. Your kids are awesome. I'm like, you say that to everyone. And they say, you know what? We kind of do. I'm like, darn, thought we were special. Or they'll tell us that our kids are about ready to be expelled, and that'll be great. And then homeschooling for mom, and yeah, okay, dad will be at work even more. So, yes, I'm kind of the same way. I probably won't watch much of either tonight. If the World Series is on, I'd watch that over either one of those.
Yes, I would be watching the World Series. Maybe not the whole game, but I would definitely be watching that if it was on and again tonight.
Let's shift to basketball, and then we'll go to Chiefs, and then we'll go to Brian Heaney. Basketball, the Big 12 SEC Challenge, if we have one, Saturday, January the 30th in 2021. Here are the matchups. Auburn at Baylor, Iowa State at Mississippi State, KU's at Tennessee, Texas A&M at K-State, Alabama at Oklahoma. Sounds like a good football matchup. Arkansas at Oklahoma State, TCU is at Missouri, Texas at Kentucky, Texas Tech at LSU, Florida at West Virginia. Texas has a couple positive tests, so now they're quarantined for 2 weeks, as is Marquette and Toledo basketball teams. So it started, hasn't it? So the big ones, of course, for the two teams in our state, KU at Tennessee, which makes sense. They can't play Kentucky all the time, every single year in this challenge. That's really the only marquee matchup you'd have. Florida, West Virginia is kind of an interesting matchup. And then Texas A&M at K-State, and there's K-Staters that are all upset or riled up, or I don't know, because Frank Martin, South Carolina, is not playing Kansas State. Here's the thing. Bruce Weber's track record, if you want to, I don't know what the point is of watching K-State play South Carolina, because South Carolina is not very good. And K-State wasn't very good last year. So I don't know what's the thrilling part of that other than unless you want a camera just watching Bruce Weber and another camera on Frank Martin and you don't want to watch any of the basketball, maybe that's what people want to watch. Frank Martin hadn't been at K-State for a while now. This just in. And Bruce Weber's done more at Kansas State than Bruce Weber's done more at K-State than Frank Martin's done at K-State. And the only difference for Frank Martin in regards to he went to a Final Four at South Carolina, had the one real good year. But he has not done very well at South Carolina. Bruce Weber has Big 12 championships since he's been at K-State after taking over for Martin. And Bruce Weber has an Elite Eight run just like Frank Martin did at K-State.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know there are a lot of people that hate on Bruce Weber. And I get the up and down, this and that. He had a reboot twice. And he's had success. Has he had some down years? Yeah, he has. Was Martin a little bit more consistent year to year? I guess so. But in regards to the end of the day, you know, Frank Martin didn't win a Big 12 title at head coach at K-State. Bruce Weber's won a couple.
Yes.
K-State went to the Elite Eight once under Frank Martin, and they've done the same thing with Bruce Weber. So I don't know if it's you want to see Bruce Weber against Frank Martin to see who's the better coach and who wins, which you might not be the better coach, but have more talent and you win anyway. Does that mean you're a better coach if you got the better talent? I don't know. But here, A&M's going to be better, a better matchup. A&M's a better team, at least going into the season. They're a better team than South Carolina. And why South Carolina's not playing K-State is simple. South Carolina's not playing anybody in the Big 12 SEC Challenge because they weren't among one of the top 10 teams in their conference. The South Carolina Gamecocks weren't even in one of the top 10 teams to be considered because, guess what? The Big 12 has 10 teams this just in. The SEC has 14. And South Carolina wasn't good enough to even be in this challenge. So when you're whining about, why don't we get South Carolina K-State? First of all, Frank Martin's team's got to be good enough to qualify for the Big 12 SEC Challenge before that's even possible. It was like a year or two ago, KU fans are whining. Or Missouri fans are whining about, why don't we have KU-Missouri? I heard it from both sides. Like, Missouri's so bad, they're not even qualified for the challenge. That's why they're not going to, and KU's not going to play Missouri. Well, now they eventually are, of course, as we know. But it's just kind of interesting how people, you know, rationalize things. Like, dude, South Carolina's so bad, TV ratings going to be up. Why? Big what? Do you think South Carolina's a big media market? Texas A&M, much bigger market. So probably more ratings with Texas A&M K-State than there would be with South Carolina and K-State. Are there going to be a few more K-State fans watching since it's Frank Martin against Bruce Weber? Yeah, I guess so, but I'm just going to go out there on a limb and say that if you're really a K-State basketball fan or a K-State fan, you're going to watch this game against A&M or South Carolina. You might watch longer because Frank Martin's on the sideline. Maybe, I don't know. It's not really going to move the needle. Because if it really would move the needle, somehow the TV networks would figure out a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
And guess what? Mm-hmm. It doesn't move the needle.
It'll be outside of
in fact, pretty much all the matchups in this Big 12 SEC Challenge don't move the needle.
Yeah. It's
the only one would be Kentucky and Kansas. That's the only possible matchup that moves the needle.
Yeah. And, it's Manhattan, Kansas, and Columbia, South Carolina are the only places that care about South Carolina, K-State.
You're and being honest.
The areas
right.
around there. I mean, that's not a draw for anybody.
No.
You could eat, and somebody like an ESPN can pump it up. And well, yeah, but no, they really can't. Like, nobody cares about it. They're two bad teams from last year. If you go into that game this year and try to pump that up, that's your only thing to talk about is Frank Martin, and he's been gone for 8 years.
I would argue a lot of South Carolina fans don't care Frank Martin
Absolutely.
Coaches
no,
against his
they
former
don't
team.
Care at all.
The only ones that really, really care are K-State fans.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't care. Yeah. I don't need to see it. Doesn't mean
I mean, if
anything.
It happens, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, if it happens, cool, whatever. Right. They're playing South Carolina. That's all they're doing to me. He's been gone for so long, it doesn't even really register and matter right now for me.
Well, you told me it's about entertainment. Some K-State fans tell you, well, it's about entertainment. Well, let's have entertainment. Let's put them both in a UFC ring and let Frank and Bruce go at it. That'd be entertaining for about 10 seconds, probably. I don't like Bruce's chances.
No,
that.
Not at all.
unless he's given a weapon of some kind. Okay, so that's the Big 12 SEC Challenge. The latest on Shocker head coach Greg Marshall. Of course, there's an investigation, allegations of abusive behavior of Wichita State's men's head basketball coach Greg Marshall. And there are also some people have stepped forward during Greg Marshall's time at Winthrop when he coached from 98 to 2007. Some argue, supporters of Marshall, that those are just players that were unhappy with playing time and now they're coming out against Marshall. Others say, hey, listen, there's been about 30 to 40 players interviewed. And there's a lot to this, and it's been corroborated, the story about punching Shaq Morris at practice. Then there's Tyson Waterman's a current assistant coach under Marshall, Wichita State, and he says he's never seen anything like this when he's been an assistant coach of Greg Marshall, but it should be noted that he began coaching with Greg Marshall in 2018, and the most severe allegations of this stuff is 2015, 16, and 17, if I remember correctly. So let the world turns, as they say. Remember that soap opera, As the World Turns? No longer on TV. My mom was really down about that. But they're playing soap operas. That's okay, Mom. So the world will turn, and we'll see how it works at Wichita State in regards to Greg Marshall. If they find out this is all true, I don't see how Greg Marshall will be the coach at Wichita State. If they just say, hey, it's just a he said, she said thing, then Wichita State may stick by Greg Marshall. There are athletes and there are players that have come to Greg Marshall's defense. I will say it is interesting that Ron Baker and Fred Van Fleet have not said anything. Those are two most noteworthy players that have come out of Wichita State in the last 10 years or 15, 20 years, and they both have not said anything about this. So I think their silence says something, although technically they're not saying anything. I think if they were all for Greg Marshall, they would have already come out and said something, I would think. But I could be wrong. Maybe they're just saying, I'm going to lay low and I don't have any opinion. Trust me, they do. They just don't want to come out and say anything.
It's like, who do we side with is basically
exactly.
where they're at right
my
now.
My former teammates, or I'm going to side with the coach that helped me get where I was, possibly, if that's the way they look at it. So they could be caught, catch 22. Okay, Le'Veon Bell, he is now a Kansas City Chief. There was a press conference yesterday, and Le'Veon Bell on why he chose the Chiefs.
You know, when I had the opportunity, you know, once I was, you know, a free agent, you know, talking to Coach Reed, just over in that course, it's like, it was just kind of undeniable to come, try to come here, help this team, you know, any ways that I can help them out, you know. You know, being an opportunity to play with Coach Reed is just going to be, you know, magnificent for me. So, play with these players around, you know, Patty Mahomes. I never played with a player, you know, MVP-wise, you know, so it's going to be fun. You know, I think it's a lot of weapons. It's going to be fun for me. When I decided to come here, I already knew, you know, the weapons, and it's only one football to kind of go around. So, you know, the time where I do get my opportunity, I think it's going to be a lot of opportunity to kind of show what I can do in some space, you know, running routes. I think this offense is really fit for my, you know, my skill set. I think Coach Reed does a good job of, you know, getting backs the ball in space, and I'm glad I got this opportunity. I'm going to just try to come in and fit in where I can, you know, and make some plays.
Le'Veon, this is a good situation for him. He can be relaxed, and he is ready to fit in.
I've, you know, played at a high level for so long. You know, I've had like a year, 2 years where, you know, it's not been a high level. You know, people kind of look at it like that. So I just want to get back here and just get my feedback under me, get in a good offense, get the ball when I can, some space, not have too much pressure on me, you know, just play football, you know, not really, you go out there and play football. That's what, really what I want to do. I think coming here is going to give me the opportunity to do that. You know, it's a lot of players. I don't necessarily got to worry about, you know, how many times I'm touching it or things like that. I think I just going to kind of fit in, and when I do get it, make plays.
Make plays. He's been accepted, says Le'Veon, already in the locker room, and he's ready to go.
I mean, it's been a lot of excitement, you know, from, you know, the coaching staff to, you know, the players, fans, you know. They really embraced me being here, and I loved it. You know, I love everything about it. I really feel like, you know, everybody welcomed me here with open arms. You know, and this is really a relief, you know, coming here. I don't really feel, like, pressured about anything. I just want to come here, you know, be happy and play football, you know, and people are allowing me to do that, you know, so I feel like I'm in a great spot, great place, and I'm eager, I'm ready to roll.
And what about Mr. Mahomes? Is he happy about the addition? I'd say he is.
First off, in the locker room, I mean, we're extremely excited. I mean, if you've looked at how Veach and Coach Rita have kind of put this culture together, it's about bringing in great players and breeding competition. And so we're excited for him to be in there, be a part of the team, being a part of the culture of winning, and being able to go out there every single week and keep getting better and better. And then obviously he's a mismatch coming out of the backfield. I mean, the way he's able to run routes, the way he's able to split out and basically be another receiver out there, it's pretty special. And he's going to get a lot of matchups that I don't think he's had recently with a lot of linebackers on him, and I'm sure he's pretty excited about that.
Le'Veon Bell does get his number 26. Wasn't Damian Williams 26?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Damian's out, and Bell's in his place in the jersey number. So Le'Veon Bell is number 26. That's his number he wore at Pittsburgh, and he's excited to be at the Chiefs. It was really a no-brainer. Chris Jones, a good friend of mine, they work out together in an offseason. Chris Jones said 2 years ago when Le'Veon Bell was a free agent, he said, dude, come to the Chiefs. And then this time, when he was available, Chris Jones goes, dude, if you don't come here. and Le'Veon's like, dude, I'm already, I want to go to KC. I've already made up my mind. That's where I think it'll be a good fit. I think it will be a good fit. I think it's a good pickup of the Chiefs. There's not much risk to it. It's insurance policy as well. I think he can help him in the red zone. And with Sammy Watkins out, I think it'll be good just to have him as a threat on the field, even if he doesn't get the ball this Sunday against the Broncos. Chiefs at the Broncos coming up on Sunday. Looking forward to that one. Pregame at 2 o'clock and kickoff at 3:25. And, you know, you think about Mahomes' time in the games in Denver. His first career start came in Denver, came back and won. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Then the next year, Monday Night Football, the left-handed pass, and he rallied the troops to win. And those are good memories. And then last year, he had a dislocated kneecap, and it looked just maybe possibly that Mahomes was done for the season. And everybody, including myself, held our breath for quite some time. Luckily, he just missed a couple games. Mahomes, on the wide, vast array of experiences he's had in Denver as he goes in to take on the Broncos this Sunday.
I've had kind of a up and down experiences in Denver. I mean, I've had the win my first game ever starting, that week 17 game, week 16, whatever it was. Then I had the Monday Night Football game where we got the comeback victory, and then I had that game where I got hurt. If you've looked at it, I mean, it's a great atmosphere to play, and I like going there. I mean, obviously not the fans this year, but they're usually a great fan base. They love their football, and so I'm excited for it, and it's going to be a snow game, and I'm pretty excited for that as well.
Mahomes has done fine in the snow. And last year, Broncos Chiefs Arrowhead, Drew Locke against Mahomes in the snow. It was all Chiefs and all Mahomes, and the Chiefs rolled. Chiefs Broncos, 2 o'clock pregame this Sunday on Z96.3 late kickoff at 3:25. Broncos 2-3. The Chiefs are 5-1. The Raiders had to send their offensive line home as Trent Brown has COVID-19. But if those others test negative, it's possible they'll all be ready to go for their game Sunday against the Buccaneers. So you'll continue to see these things pop up week in and week out in the NFL, I would guess, for the rest of the season and probably into the playoffs if we get that far.